You're listening to MoneyWeb at Midday.
So let's start with this. And police killing of civilians in KwaZulu-Natal is raising alarm bells, and says Professor Pierre de Vos, officers whose lives are endangered have the right to respond appropriately to protect themselves. But he goes on to say it doesn't justify the random killing of civilians who may or may not have been correctly identified as criminal suspects by one or the other. De Vos is the author of the blog Constitutionally Speaking. He joins me on the program first up today. And Professor, why do you think this is happening now with such alacrity?
Well, the problem is that we actually don't have enough information to know why this is happening. There's been clearly a spike in the number of suspects being killed by the police when the police say they are trying to arrest them and then so on. So the problem is that there's no explanation. Why is this suddenly happening? So the worry is that either the police is getting trigger happy, that they are doing this either deliberately, or they are at least don't mind, or they're okay with the fact that they would be in situations where they can kill all the suspects. And of course, the questions about whether in each of these cases what the police said happened really happened, we don't really know any of this.
So given this increase then, Pierre, how do you interpret what is almost public support for this?
Yes, so, you know, I'm not surprised by this, because South Africa is an extremely violent country and rife with crime, and communities are obviously responding also to the kind of organized crime that the police in KZN is saying that they are dealing with. The problem is, though, that the public know from their own interactions with ordinary police officers every day that the police is not always the most competent body. Some police officers are good, but many are not really good. Some of the police officers are corrupt. All of these things, that sometimes the police overreact, they're violent. There are thousands of stories of that people can tell about how the police really went far beyond what they're supposed to. But they do not translate that personal knowledge they have to this situation where the police claim that they are specific violent criminals. It's a kind of desperation, a magical thinking, I would suspect. People want to see that something is done, and they're desperate, and so they accept this, even though they really know better that they might not always be police acting in good faith.
Pierre de Vos, do you think there is a sense that senior command within the SAPS is turning a blind eye here?
Yes, so I hate these questions because it's a kind of speculation. I do think this is a question that should be asked, because the nature of the scope of the problem, if you will, is something that if you're the police commissioner in KZN, the National Police Commissioner, that you really at least should ask questions about it. And there's no publicly available evidence at the moment that this is happening in senior police echelon.
All right, let me move then from speculation to solution, if we can. Are there reforms or policies that you think should be implemented to better ensure police accountability?
You know, it is actually very difficult to hold the police accountable in any society, because the police is a close-knit group. There are loyalties. It's dangerous work that cements these things. So police protect each other. And so we do have a system, the IPET system. There was a time when it was headed by Robert McBride, where it seemed to be trying to become more independent and ruffled many feathers. McBride was basically forced out. And maybe then, for me, the start of the solution would be to really secure IPET's independence. It is not fully independent, and to staff it for it to be headed by somebody who really cares about the police, but also really, really cares about the police not taking the law into their own hands, so that it can become a body that is trusted. The other solutions are political in nature. The minister should be holding these people accountable, but politically I think it is not feasible for him to be seen to criticize the police that is cheered on by the community.
So if the solution is with IPED, it would be important that there is an appetite to give it more teeth to facilitate the type of change that you're recommending. I'm not sure that exists, though.
No, Mr. We know that the previous police minister, Becky Cele, actively tried to undermine IPED, championed the kind of legislation that ensured that IPED would not be as independent as it needed to be to actually investigate these claims as well as is required. And it's difficult because, investigating these things, as I said, is not easy because of police law.
And Pierre, finally then, beyond IPED itself, do we need to relook at legal frameworks that need to be strengthened, maybe as a deterrent?
There was a huge debate about 15 years ago when there was amendments made to the Criminal Procedure Act, the one that guides police officers and the use of force that they can use when they try to arrest people. It is in the end that it was a bit fudged, but I don't think anything, we are beyond a situation where those small details is going to make a difference. Our law allows police to defend themselves, to use in self-defense to protect themselves. That is sufficient. It's not the law, I think, that is the problem. It is the politics and the culture, and of course the much deeper systemic issues that are the causes of crime, which is not something you can solve by passing legislation.
Professor De Vos, you've raised a very important issue, and thank you for ventilating it today. I do appreciate your time.